It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. It is time for the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Neva Pyatt in the driver's seat this morning. Miss Monica Lovell is over there running the iPad, and our guest today is Pastor Larry Parvin. Good morning, Larry.
Hello, Neva.
It's always good to have you.
Thank you.
I appreciate you jumping in here at the last minute. It's only been a couple of weeks since you've been here, but we could have you every other week, and we wouldn't be frustrated or aggravated or intimidated, or we'd just be blessed.
Thank you for letting me help.
Well, we appreciate you so much.
We love to brag on Jesus.
Yes, we do. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can post it right on our Facebook page, or you can send it to hourofpower32@gmail.com, or you can send it to our texting line, 580-485-0837. So several ways that you can get us your prayer requests. About halfway through the program, we'll stop and pray for those needs. Our Facebook sponsor today is Prophetic Voice Ministries. I had it on my tongue somewhere, just wasn't out there yet. Prophetic Voice Ministries. We do appreciate each one of our sponsors so very much. I think I've covered everything. Will you pray to start us out?
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for another beautiful day. Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. Thank you for the way you watch over us, you provide for us. And, Lord, just thank you for your word. And I just pray, Lord, today that you speak to our hearts. I pray, Holy Spirit, you be holding our attention today, not because I'm speaking, and I don't just mean today, but every day, but Lord, that we as your children who profess to be your children would listen to your word. And as Mary told the servants after Jesus turned the water to wine, that whatever he says to you, do it. I think the greatest advice any mother's ever given, I believe. And Lord, may we take that to heart today and set our hearts to be obedient to your word. Lord, just bless the hearers today. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Didn't the Bible say something about faith comes by hearing?
That's right. Faith comes by hearing.
And blessings come by being obedient.
That's right. And you're talking to us today about obedience.
Yes. I was trying to think about it. Yeah. Do what he says. We want to sit and whine about stuff. And I can't talk and do things at the same time.
Join the club.
Yeah, but one of the reasons, main reasons that we struggle like we do is I guess I heard somebody say the other day something about having, or read it on Facebook or something, is about having spiritual ADHD. You sit down to study the word and just things, I have that app too, but things just pop into your mind, things you need to be doing when we need to be making a commitment that we're going to spend that time with the Lord and what he wants to tell us, because as we remind our folks, and I think everybody knows it, but I think we need to be reminded, I need to be reminded every day, but this is the word, the Bible is the word of God.
That's right.
People say, well, God never speaks to me. Well, you never read the Bible.
That's right.
Read the Word of God. I know you don't. I don't understand it. Billy Graham admitted he didn't understand it all. But when God called him to preach, he went out into the woods and he knelt down beside a tree stump, laid his Bible on it, and he said, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't understand it all. I can't understand it all, but Lord, I know you. You have spoken to me, and I'm going to believe every jot and tittle, and mm-hmm. I'm going to follow you. And he spent the rest of his days doing exactly that. And we need to do the same thing. And Jesus, just to get started, we're going to be in Joshua, or Judges. We're going to talk about the Danites.
The who?
The tribe of Dan. The tribe of Dan. Not Lieutenant Dan, but the Danites. One of the, I think he was Bilhah's, I can't remember which one of the girls. I think it was it, which one of the sisters. It was her maid. But anyway, the Dan, the tribe of Dan. But Jesus said in John chapter 7 and verse 17, the crowds, I'm going to back up here and just look at this, but the crowds had been grumbling about him. Verse 12, they were saying, some were saying he's a good man, and others were saying, no, he's on the contrary, he leads people astray. Yet no one was speaking openly of him for fear of the Jews. Verse 14, but when it was now the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and began to teach. The Jews then were astonished, saying, how has this man become learned, having never been educated? Read that statement and just thoughts just pour into your mind. Mm-hmm. Some people are overeducated. But didn't Solomon say the study of many books would drive a man mad? But anyway, we'll get back on track. Jesus said to them, Jesus answered them and said, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. Verse 17 is one I want us to think about. For just, if anyone is willing to do his will, he will know the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. He who speaks from himself speaks of his own glory, but he who is seeking the glory of the one who sent him, he is true, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Jesus very clearly said, if anyone is willing to do his will, if you're willing to do God's will and believe who he is, you will know Jesus' teaching, and you'll know where it's from. You know, Jesus never did, and I know he was the Son of God. I know he was able to calm the seas and heal the lame, and all things were possible with God. He was, and always will be God, right? But he never did anything arbitrary. He never did anything unless it was what he had seen the Father doing. He said that himself. He was always doing and seeking the Father's will. He was here on this earth to glorify his Father in heaven. And that's what we're supposed to be doing too. But another verse that you think about is you think about obedience. And you have people all the time will tell you, well, I believe, but too many times we believe with our head and not our heart. Mm-hmm. Head knowledge won't get you to heaven. It's that heart knowledge when we submit our life to Christ and we're willing to obey what he calls us to do. He's not going to call us all to the mission field, but he does call us all to die to ourselves. He who takes it, unless you take up your cross daily and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Over and over and over again, he made that statement. Another one popped in there, but it popped out. But we die to self. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. No longer was he was changed. He went from being a Pharisee of Pharisees, a Jew of Jews, and being passionate for the work of God. Even though it was in ignorance, he was devoted to that. But when he was changed, he went to preaching and bragging on Jesus, and he didn't go back. He didn't waffle back and forth, did he? He was totally committed to Christ, and that's what we're to be. Notice in John 3:36 says, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. We need to understand the word believe doesn't mean what we believe. I believe you're Neva Pyatt. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm going to obey my wife. I love you, but I'm going to do what my wife says. Yeah,
right. Smart guy.
Yeah, but I believe, you know, who's, I don't even want to mention them. There's a lot of things I believe. There's a lot of things I believe that, I believe Stitt's the governor of Oklahoma, but I don't know him.
That's right.
I've never met him. I do not know him. And, but anyway, John 3:36 says, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. But that word believe means obey. You cannot believe without obeying. A believe means I believe in you enough that I'm putting my life in your hand. I trust you. I'm going to live the rest of my days at your will. But he, the second part of that verse is, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. The wrath of God. Now, God is a God of love, but he's a God of wrath. Right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
If you don't trust in Jesus, the wrath of God is on you, is against you, until you believe in Christ. And how do I do that? But the grace of God is what comes in there. And God came into this earth in Jesus to save us from our sin, John 3:16. But we have both. And Jesus said time and time again that if you love me, I forgot, how does he say that? If you love me,
you'll keep my commandments.
You'll do what I say. You'll keep my commandments. And then he promises is that when we keep his commandments, you'll be blessed. Mm-hmm. I don't do this just to keep you from having fun. I do this so you'll be blessed. I give you my commandments to keep you from trouble. Mm-hmm. I give you my commandments so that you can live a prosperous and blessed life. And when I don't obey his commandments, it shows that I'm not his. But a good example of that is the tribe of Dan. I think I want to start in chapter 18 of Judges. And the key verse in Judges for me, and we could put the United States of America in here, in Judges 21, verse 25. You probably have that verse memorized too, don't you? In those days, there was no king in Israel. And everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That's the United States today.
Mm-hmm.
That's right where we're at. What happens when we all do what's right in my own eyes?
There's a lot of confusion and a lot of sin.
And a lot of trouble.
Uh-huh. Yes.
A lot of confusion, a lot of sin. There's three philosophies in the world, and I'm going to mess them up. You know, one is what's mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it. Uh-huh. I'm going to do all I can to guard it. And the next philosophy is, with a lot of people, is what's yours is mine, and I'm going to do all I can to take it.
Mm-hmm.
That's very prevalent today in this world. You know what one of the number one businesses in the United States today is?
What?
Security.
Oh.
Security systems in homes.
Uh-huh.
Why do we need security? I have one. I'm not being a hypocrite, and it's the reason I have it is to
protect your
protect
stuff.
Our lives, mm-hmm. to protect our family, to protect our property. And but anyway, it's just said that right there tells us that somebody out there wants to have. But a Christian that has died to self, and this is what Jesus teaches us to do, is that what's mine is mine, but I'm going to be willing to use it to help you because I care about you, because I love you. Even in the face of persecution, the love of God in me, and I'm still, and it is difficult. But I come to the place that I'm willing to love you even though you are threatening my life. You know what I mean? I'm going to protect my family. I don't mean to be a hypocrite there. I'm going to protect my house and my family from thieves and robbers. But I'm talking about like William Richard Wormbrand, Romanian, who was locked up in prison, spent 3 years in solitary confinement in a hole, a concrete cellar, 30 feet in the ground, by himself, nothing to read, nothing. And it was three steps each way. But yet he prayed and preached and shared and loved those that beat him on a regular basis. just for being a Christian, just for he was arrested for having church. And you can go to Voice of the Martyrs and read all about him. But we're to love in those circumstances, not to retaliate. That's why Jesus said, he who seeks to save his life will lose it. And he who seeks to lose his life, he who is willing to lose his life for me is will find it. But Dan, God brought the children of Israel into Israel. And we know in Joshua, they meted out the inheritance was, I lost the word, each one of them received an inheritance. God gave them the boundaries, showed them where he wanted them to be, right? The tribe of Dan was southwest of Jerusalem, southwest, right down next to the land of the Philistines on the Mediterranean, right at Joppa. They had the Israel because of Dan had the coast and the port at Joppa, which would have been a very important trading deal. To have that port was important. That's if you think about it, that's one of the reasons that Russia is going to want to come down and take Israel, is because Russia needs a warm water port. Just think about that for a little bit. That's one of the reasons. Main reasons, because the devil don't like Israel, and Russia is a communism is a tool in the devil's hand. But they're right there all set up, and they were given the command to go in there and drive out the Canaanites, right, and all of those folks and get their land. But you can go back over here to not Joshua, Judges. I think Judges chapter 1 tells us that as each one of these tribes received their inheritance, God told them to drive out those inhabitants of the land. But it says here in the last part of chapter 1, but Ephraim did not drive out the Canaanites who were living in Gezer, so the Canaanites lived in Gezer with among them. Zebulun did not drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, so the Canaanites lived amongst them. Asher did not drive out the inhabitants, and those in it. There's a reason God told them to drive those people out. They were worshiping false gods, contrary to who God is. Naphtali didn't. But here, when we get to the tribe of Dan, in verse 34, chapter 1, then the Amorites forced the sons of Dan into the hill country, for they did not allow them to come down into the valley. Yet the Amorites persisted in living in Mount Heres and Ajalon, and I'm going to mess up the name of them three towns. But when the power of the house of Joseph grew strong, they became forced labor. But the border of the Amorites ran from all the way up to the forest. In other words, the tribe of Dan, who was the second largest army of the 12 tribes, weren't willing to fight. They weren't willing to do what they had to do to be obedient to God and receive their inheritance. And that brings us to the story in Dan chapter 18. Actually, it's 17 and 18. Starts out with Micah. You remember it sets up the stage for us in Judges chapter 17. Micah was a man of Ephraim. And he tells his mother here in verse 2 of chapter 17, he said, the 1,100 pieces of silver which were taken from you, about which you uttered a curse in my hearing, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. And his mother said, blessed be my son by the Lord. Of course, he did repent, and he did come tell his mother, but does the Lord bless a thief? I know that's harsh right here, but you'll understand more as you think about this story. The son is not in the will of God, even though he is giving his money the money back, and neither is the mother. Listen, verse 3. He then returned the 1,100 pieces of silver to his mother, and his mother said, I wholly dedicate the silver from my hand to the Lord for my son to make a graven image with a molten image. Now, therefore, I will return them to you. So when he returned the silver to his mother took 200 pieces of silver and gave them to the silversmith, who made them into a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had a shrine, and he made an ephod and a household idols and consecrated one of his sons that he might become in his priest. Verse 6, that verse again that we read at the end of the book. In those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. Was Micah and his mother in the will of God? No. Doesn't the Bible say, thou shalt not make for yourself any image?
Mm-hmm.
Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Do not make for yourself any graven images. The point is, these people were not being obedient to God.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we put a lot of graven images in our life,
even though we don't make them.
We don't make them. They're just easily there. Too much TV, much this, and that, and something else.
Property, other people's property. We love covetousness, all this, but yes, we do. Anything that keeps us from submitting and putting God first in our life is an idol.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to search for folks. And you think, well, that's not a problem today, Pastor. Look around in your church. If that wasn't a problem today, all our churches would be full. Now, I understand there's differences with music and stuff, and we're not going to get into that today. But some of us folks over 45 with hearing issues have trouble with the windows rattling in the worship service. We're not going to get into that.
Mm-hmm.
But our churches would be full, and we would truly be worshiping God, and we would be preaching the gospel. This world would be a different place if we didn't. But anyway, we'll go on. Then this young man from Bethlehem in Judah, this is just interesting. We'll finally get there. But this just blew me away when this hit me the other day. There was a young man from Bethlehem in Judah, of the family of Judah, and the Dan was right south of Judah. Judah was basically, Dan was a buffer state for Judah between the Philistines and Judah, just like Georgia was before Florida became a state. Then a man departed from the city from Bethlehem. He left Bethlehem and Judah to stay wherever he might find a place. And as he made his journey, he came to the hill country of Ephraim, to the house of Micah. And he said to him, Micah said to him, where you come from? He said, I am a Levite from Bethlehem in Judah, and I am going to stay wherever I may find a place. Remember, every man did what was right in his own eyes? Mm-hmm. Didn't God tell the Levites, give the Levites specific places to worship and serve the children of Israel? This boy, he's the one, keep your eye on that boy. Micah then said to him, dwell with me, and the father and the priest of me, and I will give you 10 pieces of silver a year and a suit of clothes and your maintenance. So the Levite went in. The Levite agreed to live with the man. Said the young man became to him like one of his sons. So Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and lived in the house of Micah. And Micah said, now I know that the Lord will prosper me because I have a Levite as a priest.
Mm-hmm.
That young man sold himself out from the will of God for 10 shekels and a shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Did you read that? There's a sermon, wonderful sermon. I can't remember who is R.G. Lee or whoever, but he did. I went for 10 pieces of silver and a suit of clothes wherever he could find a place. He was willing to go. There's a, you know, and that's true for a lot of preachers and servants of the Lord today. They're willing to go wherever they can go for 10 shekels and a shirt. They're willing to sell themselves for prosperity rather than stay where God wants you to be and trust you. I think David said one time in Psalm 37:25, it was mine and Eldon Boswell's favorite verse. Have I ever been here that I haven't mentioned Eldon Boswell?
I don't think so.
I don't either. It probably won't ever happen either. Psalm 37:25, David said, I was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his descendants begging bread. Folks, God can provide for us when there's no means around for us to be provided for.
That's right.
He can send an angel to land on your porch with a bag of groceries, a bag of diapers, food for the babies. God can do it. He's done it. If we will truly trust him and allow him to take care. And that's what he wants to do. And when we're in his will, we can expect that because we are his and we have life. But when we're not trust, when we're selling ourselves for 10 shekels and a shirt, that man, Micah, and we'll see why Micah, God didn't bless Micah very much either way. And now we're going to get into that part of it. But when I was in the seminary, I used to be amazed sitting around a table at lunch with a bunch of, I was an older guy, that I was there with in diploma studies. I've got a graduate diploma and a diploma in ministry of theology and a graduate diploma, which is just like a diploma. I did not have a master's degree and I do not, or a bachelor's, but the sitting around the table with some of these young guys and old, I was an old guy, but they'd sit around and talk about guys that just couldn't preach their way out of a brown paper bag. You know what I mean? But I just told them one day, I said, you know what, guys? I've never heard a bad sermon. Mm. They just looked at me like, well, you ain't heard much preaching then. If a guy opens his Bible and just reads the Word of God, that's a sermon. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's not your eloquence. It's not your bravado. Paul said, I'm slow of speech. I mean, he said, I don't have excellence of speech. The power is in the Word of God.
That's right.
And to be submitted to God and allow God to use you. And that's what this is all about, I believe, because that young priest was outside the will of God, and he was only three generations from Moses. I'll kind of give you a head up. Maybe just three generations from Moses. But anyway, the tribe of Dan, it says here, was seeking an inheritance for themselves to live in, for until that day an inheritance had not been allotted to them as a possession among the tribes of Israel. That's not true. You go back over to Judges. We went back over there to Joshua chapter 19, and they were allotted an inheritance right down there southwest of Judah, right next to the Mediterranean. So the sons of Dan, they sent from their family, they took five men and sent them up north to spy out the land, to search it, to see if they could find a place. So they got up there, and they came to the hill country of Ephraim, to the house of Micah. You remember this story, right? I hate to use the word story because it's not a story. You remember this history, right? Because
mm-hmm.
this happened. And when they were near the house of Micah, verse 3 of chapter 18, they recognized the voice of a young man. Now, I don't know if they, a Levite, I don't know if they just remembered him, recognized him because of his the way he talked, or they may have recognized his voice. But they turned aside there and said to him, "Who brought you here? What are you doing in this place, and what do you have here?" And then they said, Micah has done such and such for me and hired me, and I have become his priest. And then they said to him, "Inquire of God, please, that we may know whether our way on which we are going will be prosperous." And the priest said to them, just go in peace. And that's, I just see that the way that it's going. But the priest said to them, "Go in peace. Your way in which you are going has the Lord's approval." Let me ask you something. Would you put much stock in that? He wasn't a priest. He was a Levite. He was not a priest. He was a Levite. But he became a priest. You see, God, he was outside of the will of God at being in Micah's house. He was outside of the will of God because he was serving with a graven image and a false and an effort in a place that he wasn't supposed to be. But would you put much stock in his blessing when he says, "Go in peace, your way in which you are going has the Lord's approval"? I don't think they were prosperous, the Danites were, as far as conquering them innocent people up there where they weren't supposed to be. But they didn't have God's blessing. And then these five men departed from there, went back and told Dan what had happened. And so then they go get the tribe of Dan. And then you get to verse 14. And the five men who went to spy out the land, when you get ready to need to take a break, let me know. And I don't. This is a lot of story for just really one obedience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's imperative, and how quick that we can come from being one of God's most faithful servants within two generations come to such apostasy.
Mm-hmm.
We've done that in America today.
Right.
I know it's been 200 and some years, but we've turned away from God. We worship as it every man according to the dictates of his own heart. We make up our own rules, but folks, it ain't going to last.
Mm-hmm.
We need to stick close to what God's word says.
Right.
Or we're going to be disappointed when he comes and gets his church. There's going to be a whole lot of church left behind
mm-hmm.
when he comes and gets his church out of this earth.
That's right. That's right. Well, if this would be a good time to stop, we'll do some prayer requests right now.